Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Seems like we heard about that last Sunday. "Be strong and be of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For when thou shalt make thy way, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, and neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." You can be seated. As we look at this portion of Scripture, you find that this is a time that the children of Israel is fixing to cross over into the Promised Land. They're going into the land of Canaan. They've been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, and God has wanted them to go into the land of Canaan. As you've heard me say many times, I believe that people are in three places in their life. They're either lost, living down in Egypt in bondage, or they're in the wilderness, they're saved, they're out of bondage, but they're just out wandering around in the wilderness and have never got into the Promised Land. They're not serving God like they need to. They're not doing what they need to for the Lord. Or they're like the children of Israel is fixing to be. They're fixing to get in to the land of Canaan. And so you find right here that one of the first things that God tells and that Joshua is now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Now notice what he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now if you notice as I read this here, when he talked about Moses in these few verses right here, you'll find that he called him Moses, my servant. Well, what a great testimony to have that God would put my servant after your name and after my name. Mark, my servant. Jeff, my servant. Bethany, my servant. It would be great that God would put that after our name. But then he said right here, he said not only is Moses dead, because if you remember, Moses had went up on Mount Nebo up there and God just took and that Moses to be home with him. Amen. And so you find, he said, Moses is dead. And he says, now I'm going to get you in to the Promised Land. And he made this statement here. He said, as I was with Moses, I thought about this in verse 5. He said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I dwelled upon that last night as I was looking over this. I thought, what a great statement. I thought, man, I mean, you're talking about giving encouragement and that unto Joshua. Joshua had been Moses' minister. He had seen everything that God had done for Moses in the past 40 years. And God's saying, as I was with Moses, Joshua, I'll be with you. I mean, he's seen as God was with Moses coming up out of the land of Egypt. He's seen everything that had took place down there and that God carried him through. He's seen Moses stand up there when the Egyptian army was behind him and the Red Sea was in front of him. He seen Moses stand out there with that staff in his hand and hold it up, and God part the Red Sea. He'd seen all this. He'd seen how God killed the Egyptian army when Moses held his staff back up. He remembered the time, no doubt, when Moses went up on the hill with Aaron and Hur, and he held up that staff again, and they won the battle. He seen the time when Moses went out and smote the rock, and water came forth. He seen the time that he cut the tree down and cast it into the water and made bitter water sweet. And he seen all the times that God had been with Moses. And so now God's making a promise, and that to Joshua, and saying, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. That's a pretty big promise. I mean, for 40 years, God guided Moses to guide the children of Israel. And so now he's calling on Joshua and that to guide the children of Israel over into the promised land. I thought about this verse that after I got done preaching last Sunday night that Miss Bethany quoted when she talked about how that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I tell you, as God has been with those around us, it's been serving Him, He'll be with us as long as we're trying to serve Him. Amen. But three times in this passage, you'll find that it said to be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, strong and very courageous. And in verse 9, he said, be strong and of a good courage. And so the word courage means bravery. I remember asking my daddy one time what bravery meant. I was probably in the 7th or 8th grade, maybe a little prior to that, because I remember being in spelling class, Brother Randy. I remember being in spelling class, and my spelling teacher asked what bravery meant. I knew what it meant. And a lot of people would say that it meant that you weren't afraid to do anything. And that's not what bravery always means. Bravery means that sometimes you are afraid to do it, but you still go and do it anyway. That's what bravery is. And I remember my daddy teaching me that right there. But it means bravery, or the quality of mind which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties without fear or depression of spirits. Or it means valor or boldness. And what he's trying to tell Joshua right here is he's getting him ready to go in, and he's getting him ready to battle. Listen, they've not seen too many battles and fights along the way. In 40 years, they defeated the Egyptian army. God took care of that. And when they come out of Egypt, they had to fight Og and Sihon, the kings over there. And God took care of that. But that's about all the battles that they've had. And now they're going in. And they're going to face battle after battle after battle after battle. And enemy after enemy after enemy. God knows this stuff. Let me tell you, when you get saved and you decide you're going to live for God, you're going to face the enemy. He's going to be around. He's not going to leave you alone. But I'm glad there's somebody that can help us. I thought about the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 28. If you know anything about Acts 28, I believe it's the last chapter in that book. And the Bible says he's fixing to go to Rome. And it says, and from thence, when the brethren heard of us, Luke's writing here, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns. And when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. I thought about why Paul took courage right there. Was it because those men come from those places and come by and maybe encouraged him? Or it might have been because he knew he was headed to Rome, not knowing what he was going to have to face. But nonetheless, he took courage and that to go. As I get ready to preach this, I want you to know that if we're not careful, we can be void of courage. If you look in Joshua chapter 2, you'll find that when it talks about the men of Jericho, you remember the spies went in to spy out Jericho. And they get over there to Rahab, the harlot's house. And here's what she said in verse 9. And she said unto the men, talking about the Israelite spies, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did under the two kings of the Amorites, and were on the other side, were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, which utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, for he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So the men of Jericho had lost all courage. And their hearts fainted. Now I want to show you this, and I know most of y'all know this because I've showed it to you before. But notice when that happened. When they come up out of the land of Egypt, wasn't it? They crossed the Red Sea, said, "We heard that you crossed the Red Sea, heard that you defeated Sihon and Og," and said, "Our hearts melted in us." That was 40 years ago. Think about that for just a second. All they had to do was travel from where they were, cross Jordan, in the days of Moses coming up out of the land of Egypt. God had already melted the hearts of the enemy, and all they had to do is go fight. I'm going to tell you, we miss some things sometimes because we're afraid and can't turn loose of the old way. And that was their problem. They were so afraid of going forward that they were stuck where they were. I'm afraid a lot of people's that way today in their Christian life. They're afraid and that to serve God. And so what it's going to take to serve God is some courage. I want to look at a few things about taking courage. First of all, we need to have courage for the work. Notice what he said in verse 5, or verse 6. He said, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them." Do you realize he's telling Joshua, he said, "Now you need to have courage to go in and do the work that I've called you to do." He said, "I've called you to do it. I want you to go do it." You go back to Deuteronomy chapter 31, and the Bible said, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." Now think about this. God has called Joshua to take Moses' place. He's called him, and now all the struggles and battles that he's seen Moses go through dealing with the children of Israel, but now he's going to have to go in and he's going to have to fight. He's going to have to fight. He knows this. I mean, listen, he knows that as soon as they cross Jordan, that God is no longer going to rain manna down from heaven. He's not going to send quail any longer, and they're going to have to cook and eat and do all these things. Ain't no problem eating, it's the problem cooking, ain't it? Amen. And he knows that they're going to have to do all this, plus fight the enemy. And so God says, "I want to encourage you, Joshua. I want to give you courage to go do the work that you need to do." Can I tell you today that a lot of times that means you need courage and that to do what we need to do. We need courage in that to make our stand. I to stand upon the truth. I to stand upon the truth and let our light shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. I in the midst of a nation that don't love God, among people that don't love God. We just need God's courage. I to stand up and be counted for. It takes courage to be different than everybody else. It takes courage, young people, to be different at school. It takes courage, moms and dads, to run your home different than the world runs theirs. You surely ain't running your home like the world runs their home. We're to run our home based on the Word of God and it alone. And that's what will help your home. Say amen right there. Y'all may not like it. Nobody said amen hardly. But it'll help you today. I'm telling you, it takes courage to serve the Lord and do what needs to be done. But we depend upon Him. He said, "Be strong and of a good courage." Can I tell you that sometimes not only in doing the work, but in the work to be able to stand still and wait on God takes courage. To just stand still. Now you think that would be easy sometimes, but that's not always easy. Just to stand still and wait and see what God wants you to do and where God wants to put you, and then go where God wants you to go. You know, I got thinking about this as I studied this. I you know that sometimes it takes courage to stay exactly where God's got you at. It's easier to run. It's easier to run and hide. It's easier to go find something new to do. But when God wants you to do what He's got you doing, sometimes it just takes courage to stay there and do it. I thought about Elijah. You know, he was over there with the brook Cherith. It hadn't rained. It wasn't going to rain. And he was hit out by himself. Something that I've learned about Mark here lately, that my personality requires people. Do you know that? You know, some people's personality does not require people. And some of you all can go home and be locked in your house for a month at a time and just enjoy yourself. But after one day, I'm about to go stark raving mad some days. I need to be around people. I need fellowship. I need to talk to somebody. I need to see somebody. My wife, she'll come home some days and she'll say, "You ain't been nowhere today, have you?" And I'm just wound up, boy. I mean, ready to go. And I said, "No, I ain't been nowhere." But here he is. Here he is by himself, hiding out. And all he's got over there is a little old brook that's drying up, and he's got ravens bringing him meat in the morning and meat in the evening. Now, I don't know how hard it was for him to stay there, and I'm sure that he was sitting here watching this brook dry up. Hadn't rained, wasn't going to rain until he prayed for it to rain. And let me ask you something. Do you reckon as every day that he gets up and he sees it running less and less and less, now them birds never slowed down, and as he sees it running less and less, you think he ever began to wonder, what am I going to do? He heard from God. But then God one day speaks to him and sends him from all the way down here next to the brook Cherith and sends him all the way up on the northern side, all the way up to Zarephath. And he said, "I've commanded a widow woman, to take care of thee." And so here he goes. He just goes up through there and takes off. And he gets over there, and the widow woman that God has commanded to take care of him is gathering sticks up to make two cakes for her and her son that they can eat it and die. Ain't rained for 3.5 years. They ain't growing nothing. They ain't much to be had. Ain't no wheat. Ain't no barley. Ain't much going on. She says, "I'm out of meal and I'm out of oil." And he says, "You just make my cake first and everything will be okay." Sometimes it takes courage to stay where God wants us to be. And then sometimes it takes courage to move where God wants us to be. We get so used to doing what we're doing that if we get outside of our comfort zone, we're certainly going to have courage. Some people's always looking for something new to do, and others are always trying to figure out how to stay where they are because it's easy. But the work is sometimes what we need courage in. I remember the first time that me and my wife that I ever played and she sung, or one of the first times, I'm going to tell on you, was up at my mom and dad's house. And for her to sing for my mom and dad, she had to go in the kitchen where they could not see her. And she would sing in there. Now they could hear her just fine, but they could not see her. She had to have a little courage to get up in front of people. It takes courage to do those things. Now some of you all grin and laugh, and it is cute and funny, but would you get up in front of people? Let me ask you that question. Takes a little courage, don't it? I've got up in front of people for so long that standing in front of people does not bother me, but making sure that I've got the right message for the hour, that gets nerve-wracking sometimes. Being here does not take a whole lot of courage for me to stand in front of you, Unity Baptist Church, because I pretty much know how you're going to receive me. You've listened to me for almost 20 years and know about what I'm going to preach. You know, I know how you are and you know how I am. But you know when I need some courage? When I go preach somewhere else. I mean, I don't know how everybody's going to receive me. Not everybody may like me like y'all do. I hope y'all like me. Y'all seem to. I'm just saying sometimes it just takes courage to do the will of God and the work of God in your life.
Because sometimes it's not going to be easy. Sometimes we can't see the way out of it. Sometimes we can't see the path, but we do know that God wants us to go that way, but we can't see what He wants out of the deal, so we just got to have courage to go. Now listen to me. It takes courage in that to do the work, but then it takes courage in that to do God's Word. I want you to look down in verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but that thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do it according to all that is written therein. For when thou shalt make then, for then thou shalt... Man, I keep adding words to it, Brother Jeff, just like you did this morning. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. So not only do we need courage in that to do the work of God, but then we need courage in that to do the Word of God. To have the Word of God in your life and in your home. To stand on a thing. No matter what happens, I'm going to keep the Word of God. Does that know what He said? Only be thou strong and courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. He said, I want you to do what Moses told you to do for the work, but then I want you to keep the Word of God. It takes courage to keep the Word of God. It does. It takes courage to do it. I mean, because you're gonna have to tell you no sometimes. You're going to have to tell your children no. You're going to have to say yes to this and no to that. Make decisions. And here's what we're going to do. But when you make up your mind to keep the Word of God, it'll help you. It'll help me. The Bible said, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. That's what the Word of God does for us. We need courage to keep the Word of God. What do you mean, courage? Let me give you an example. It takes courage to separate yourself from people, don't it? I preached on separation last Sunday morning. It takes courage to do that, to separate yourself from people that you don't need to be around. You might like them. They may have a great personality, but there's something there for some reason you don't need to be around them. And the Word of God points it out and says, you don't need to be around them people. Don't be around them. But it takes courage to do that. It takes courage in that to buck the educational system with your children. Takes courage. People's not going to understand. People's not going to have it. You know, they don't know why do you want to raise your children like this. I'm going to raise them according to the Word of God. That's what I'm going to do. Takes courage. You can do it, but it takes courage. Takes some bravery and intrepidity. To be intrepid. There it is. To have some valor about you that I'm going to do it no matter what. Going to be a battle, but I'm going to do it. The Lord will be happy with me. And then he said this, when you do that, he said that thou mayest, verse 7, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And again, he said in verse 8, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When you have courage in the Word of God to follow Him and do His book, it brings success. It prospers us. Success and prospering is not always in monetary values, but it will be successful to us in our Christian life. Let me ask you something. Do you not think Jeremiah needed courage to stand out there in the day that he was in and preach? I mean, people hated. I'm not talking about dislike. They hated Jeremiah. They hated him. They put him in stocks, put him in prison, had him down in the pit up to Meyer, up to here. They hated him all because of his preaching. You don't think that man had to have courage to stand out there and tell him what God had to say? The Word of God. Let me ask you this question. We read 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12 and read over something sometimes.
Chapter 11 is where David committed adultery and murder. And then Bathsheba is with child. And that's why he done what he done to Uriah. Now, I want you to think about something right here. If you, here, go over there. Hold your place. I'm going to chase this rabbit, and then I'm going to get back to where I need to be. Go over to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I want to show you something about sin. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Well, you know, I had a Bible marker there. Now, most of us knows the story. Let me see if I can. All right, look in verse 16. God has told Joab. Joab runs the army. David has told Joab. He said, look, when Uriah comes back to you, you put him in the hardest part of the battle. And make sure he gets killed. Now, if you go, and there's a portion of Scripture that talks about David's valiant men. Do you know who was found among David's valiant men? Uriah the Hittite. David, because of his sin, was willing to sacrifice one of his most valiant men not to get caught. But I'm going to show you something I read one day. And so in verse 16, and it came to pass when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. All right, Uriah dies, but did you catch what your Bible said right there? And there fell some of the people of the servants of David. David's sin cost other people their life too. There was other people died because of David's sin right there. It got him in trouble. I mean, I'm not sure that Joab would have made the decisions that he would have made. He just couldn't send Uriah out there to fight all these people by himself. He's got to send a group of people out there with Uriah with them. And so in David's mind, he's done this. And he's not only committed murder in that with Uriah, but these other people has been a casualty of David's sin. And so notice that nobody has brought this sin to David's attention yet, but Uriah has died. These other people have died. Bathsheba's now with child. And by the way, if you look, I'll never forget, one preacher preached one time, and David sent a mess of meat down there from the king's kitchen down to Uriah's house. He had the king's kitchen involved in this thing before it was over with. But for time's sake, I want you to look in chapter 12. Nathan, God sends Nathan over there to tell David a story. And let me read. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat, drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. We're talking about loving it. He said, there was a rich man that had exceeding many flocks, and then you got a poor man that's got one little ewe lamb, and this poor man loved that ewe lamb more than anything, David. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the land fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Let me ask you, how much courage did Nathan have to have to stand before the king of Israel that can have him killed? He's standing before David. and telling him the story of what he done to Uriah and what's went on with Bathsheba. God had already revealed this to Nathan, and Nathan stood before the king and said, "Thou art the man, David." How much courage you reckon that took for him to walk in before the king and point his finger at him and said, "You're the man. You're the one that done this to David." We don't give that a lot of thought, do we? It takes courage to keep the Word of God and to serve God. So how do we have courage? How do we have courage? I want you to look at what he told Joshua. Go back to the text scripture in Joshua 1. Notice what he said in verse 5. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." You go to verse 9. "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." You know what God told him? He said, "Look, Joshua, I'll be with you as I was with Moses, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Seems like we heard something about that last week, didn't we? We get our encouragement in knowing that God will always be there. We get our encouragement knowing that what God's book has said to do is right, whether nobody else understands it or nobody else wants to understand it. As long as we know that we're following God, we can take courage because He'll always be there. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He said, "As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I won't leave thee. I won't forsake thee." You do not have to be dismayed. You don't have to be afraid. You can take courage. What did I read last week? "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." We may get like Job every now and again and wonder where God's at. But always remember, He won't leave us nor forsake us. Reckon how much courage it took for Gideon to do what he done. You remember the story of Gideon? God comes to Gideon, sends an angel down there and says, "Okay, Gideon, you are going to deliver my people, and that from the Amalekites and the Midianites." And Gideon looks cross-eyed at the angel, and he said, "I can't do that. I can't. I'm the least of my father's house. I can't do anything like that." And God said, "Here's what I want you to do, Gideon. I want you to go over here and I want you to tear down your father's altar and that to Baal, and take the young bullock and build me an altar and sacrifice over there to me." That's what He told him to do. Now God was trying to prove Gideon and show him some things. So you know what Gideon does? He waits until nighttime. The Bible said he didn't have enough courage to do it in the daytime. He waits till the nighttime. And he takes some men and he goes up there to the grove and he destroys that altar and he cuts down the grove and he builds an altar to God and sacrifices his dad's bullock up there. And so the next day when everybody sees what happened, you can go over the book of Judges and read this, they come out and they said, "Who done this?" And they said, "Well, Gideon done this, the son of Joash." And so they go over to Joash, knock on his door, and they got to remember that was his dad's bullock. It was his dad's grove and that to Baal. And they said, "Send Gideon out here. We're going to kill him because of what he done to Baal's altar." And you know what Joash said? Joash said, "Is Baal a god?" He said, "If Baal's God, if he is a god," then he said, "you let Baal plead for himself. And if he wants Gideon dead, he'll kill him." There's one. All right. Gideon now sees that God brought him through that. Right? No, they tried to kill him, but God took care of. God's real. Going to take care of me. So God says, "Gideon, I still want you to go fight the Amalekites and the Midianites." And he says, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to set the fleece out. You make the fleece wet and the ground dry, if that's what you really want me to do." Okay. So God made the fleece wet and the ground dry. He wrung it out. And then Gideon said, "Lord, don't be angry with me.
But he said, can you make the fleece dry and the ground wet? So God made the fleece dry and the ground wet. When he got up next day, dry and wet. Okay. So God, he knows God's really wanting him to go in this direction, and he's still struggling. And in the midst of all that, God gave him 32,000 men for an army and says, the first thing I want you to do is go over and tell them if they're afraid to go home. Well, 10,000 men pack their bags up and go back to the house, and now he's down 22,000 men. And he says, send them down there to the creek, and which one ever reaches down and sups it up like this, that's who you get to keep. And so out of 22,000 people, he keeps 300 men. And you can look out over the valley out through there. And the Bible said they were like grasshoppers out through there. Talking about the Amalekites and the Midianites. And God is wanting me to go out there with 300 men to fight this battle. You're talking about a man that's going to have courage. I mean, the odds are stacked against him. The odds are against... You know the odds get against us. Can I tell you the odds are against us? In worldly view, it's against us. But you know what God told him to do? He said, Gideon, if you still fear, he said, take your servant Pura and go down there and sneak up on the camp of the Midianites and just listen. And so him and his servant went down there and they were listening, and two of them were sitting around talking, and one of them said, I had a dream last night. And he said, I dreamed this pancake. It's like a pancake. I can't remember what he said. He said, come rolling in. And said, it knocked us over. And the other fellow said, well, that's nothing no more than Gideon and the army that's going to come in and destroy us all. The Bible said when Gideon heard that he, right where he was, he worshiped God. And he went back and he got ready to fight. And then he took courage and went out and fought. God can give us courage. God can give you courage to face insurmountable things that's in front of you today, whether it's health, whether it's a battle, whether it's Satan. I mean, listen, it's all stacked against us with the world. But God, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. God will come by through his word and encourage us. He sends people by to encourage us, doesn't he? I thought about what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7. He said, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side with outward fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. He said, God sent me Titus, and that helped me. Sometimes we're in the spot where we need somebody to come by, and sometimes we're in the spot where we are the somebody that comes by. If you go back and you look in the book of, I want to think that it is in 2 Chronicles, it is, 2 Chronicles 35. And they were Josiah's king of Judah at this time, and they're keeping the Passover for the very first time. Since the Bible said they hadn't had a Passover like that since the days of Samuel. And the Bible went on to say that as he was doing that, and that he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. He encouraged them to do their job. The king came by and just encouraged them to do what they need to do. I've told you, time again, there's a preacher friend that I have up in northeast Tennessee. And on occasion, he'll send me something. He don't send me something every day, not every week. But on occasion, he'll send me something. And it'll always seem to be the right thing for the right time. Just a little encouragement. Sometime back, Miss Bethany over here had asked me for a tape of Brother John, her granddad. And so we had to go all way back yonder to find it, all the way back 2004. And you can thank Miss Latham for that, because she had made a list of all the tapes that we had and made a And all I had to do was we had to find the list. And once we found the list, we found the tape. But you had to find the list because it was missing, that's for sure. And so as I got that thing ready to send to Miss Bethany so she would have a copy of it, as I sat in there and listened to Brother John preach, he was preaching on, "Do you want your faith increased?" And that was just a time of encouragement for me to say it in my study. That was just a good message for a good time. Ain't there times that we just need our faith increased? Ain't there times that we just need that? He was preaching, I believe, out of Mark 9 where that father come over there where he said, "I believe, yet help my unbelief." Just sometimes God knows how to send and when to send. But I want you to look in verses 3 and 4, and I'm going to close of the text scripture. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast." That's the Mediterranean Sea, all the way to the river Euphrates, which comes right down the middle of modern day Iran. And God said, "All this portion of land, Joshua, is going to be yours. Wherever your feet tread upon, I'll give it to them." Can I tell you that Israel never got that land? They never made it to modern day Iran. They never made it to the Euphrates River. As a matter of fact, they barely got past the other side of Jordan. What happened? They quit fighting. They lost their courage. And if you read the book of Joshua, Joshua's instructing them the whole time. But by the time we get to the book of Judges, they have quit fighting and they have decided to become worldly instead of godly. And so you know what happens? They didn't get everything that God wanted for them. They quit fighting because some things was hard. How many of us give up when it gets hard? If you give up when it gets hard, then you're not ever going to get anywhere. You're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere physically, and you're not going anywhere spiritually. Because if you're thinking that everything's just going to be easy, you've done set yourself up for a failure. It got hard. They become content with where they were. And they lost their courage to go fight. I believe that's where the church is today. I think the church has lost courage to go fight. I'm talking about as a whole. And as the past two or three, four generations, I think that is a whole. It's easier to let the world do what they're doing. We'll come to church on Sunday and do the best we can. Man, we're supposed to be out there making a difference. We come in here to worship. We come in here to learn. But man, our Christian life is out there. It's out there. That's where we make a difference at, is out there. They lost courage. That's why they didn't get what God had promised them and told them. How much have we missed because we don't take courage? How much have we missed? Let's bow our heads today, if we would. Give us just a little music, Jacob, if you would. Maybe you need courage to do what's right in your home. If you're unsaved today, you need to take courage and come and get saved. You need to come. But maybe you've kind of, it's got hard and you don't want to face it anymore. You can come today. If God has spoke to your heart today, and you just need some help. You just need some help with courage. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how to fight this battle. I don't know what to do right here. I don't know how to go where God wants me to. I don't know how to stand still. Well, I've been there in both places. I don't know what to do right here. Can I tell you that God can give you courage to face what you've got to face and do what you've got to do? Young people, God can help you face this world and go on and serve Him. You're not living this thing by yourself. You're not doing this thing by yourself. God wants to help you. Listen, there's something praying. You need to come. You want to come pray. Find strength in the Lord to have courage. He said, be strong and be courageous. We need some strength today. How about you? You living for God like you should? You doing what you should? If God's knocked on your heart and spoke to you.